Well, good morning and welcome to worship from St. James, West Streatham. Wherever you are this morning, peace be with you. Thank you for joining us. Hopefully you've managed to get hold of the service sheet for today. And a reminder to parents, if you want to access some children's resources, then just go to the St. James website and on the front page you'll see a link to the children's page. Psalm 29 says this: Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. That's what we've come to do this morning, to join our worship with that of the angels in heaven and to worship the Lord in the beauty or the splendor of his holiness. So Lord God, we thank you so much for bringing us into this new day. We thank you for inviting us now into your presence to worship you. Lord, transport us, we pray, into the Holy of Holies, into the throne room of heaven, where thousands upon thousands of angels worship you as they gaze upon your face. Lord, as we worship you this morning, open our eyes to see your glory, we pray. And give us that anticipation in our hearts for that day, then we will, like the angels, be in your presence and see you face to face. Come, Holy Spirit, and enable us now to worship you in spirit and in truth, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to turn now to our time in the Word, John 15 and verses 1 to 17. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. Lord, we pray you'd wield that sword this morning now. And Lord, may it penetrate right to the depth of our being. And may it do its work in our lives, we pray, for the honor and glory of the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, during lockdown, our family have been enjoying our garden a lot more. Usually we're so busy we don't have much time to get out there, so it's been great to be able to do that. We've planted strawberries, though the squirrels dug them up. We've had a bit more success with our wildflowers and our wisteria. The jury's still out on the sunflowers. And we've started our own little olive grove. We've even installed a lovely bird bath with solar-powered fountain, but we haven't yet planted a grapevine, so maybe that'll be next year's project. But grapevines were very common in Israel in Jesus' day, as they are today. Maybe you have got a grapevine at home. In fact, the standard picture for national prosperity in Israel was every man or woman sitting under his own vine and fig tree. Israel was well known in the region as a prolific producer of three things: wheat, olive oil, and grapes. So vines were so important to the Israelite economy. And this is the image that Jesus draws on for his seventh and final saying in John's Gospel. We see it twice in chapter 15. First in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. And then in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. So let's look first of all at the illustration itself. And it's a very simple illustration. Here we have a vine and a vine dresser or a gardener whose job is to tend that vine in such a way as to produce maximum fruit. And he does that in two ways. First, he prunes or cleans the fruitful branches to make them even more fruitful. And second, he lops off the dead or fruitless branches, gathers them up, and then has a bonfire at the bottom of the garden at the end of the day. It's a very simple illustration with deep spiritual and theological meaning for us. So what is that meaning? Well, notice first of all in verse 1 that Jesus says he is the true vine. Look again at verse 1. I am the true vine. The emphasis on the word true. Now, we've seen this before. Remember in chapter 6, Jesus said, I am the true bread. In other words, there is another kind of bread, the bread that Moses called down from heaven in the wilderness, the manna, but I am the true bread. We saw it in chapter 10 where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, with the emphasis on the word good. There have been other shepherds and there will be other shepherds, but I am the good shepherd. And so here in chapter 15 and verse 1, where Jesus says he is the true vine, what he means is there is another vine, but I am the true vine. What does that mean? Well, those who heard would know exactly what Jesus was referring to. In the Old Testament, the nation of Israel was referred to as a vine. Most famously in Psalm 80 and verse 8, where we read these words. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it and it took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its boughs to the Mediterranean Sea, its shoots as far as the river Euphrates. So Israel is pictured as a vine brought out of Egypt by God and planted by him in the promised land, a vine that flourished and spread initially under God's care, producing much fruit. But as the psalm goes on, we see a lament for the fact that God has allowed that vine, the nation of Israel, to be damaged and virtually destroyed. The Old Testament tells us that this was due to the consistent failure to produce good fruit, which is the whole point of the vine, the fruit of obedience to God's commands. Again and again and again, the people of Israel, this vine, produced bad fruit, their idolatry, their immorality, and their injustice. And God sent them prophet after prophet to call them back to him, but again and again they refused to listen. So God allowed them to suffer at the hands of their enemies. Wild beasts, as it were, came in and savaged the vine, damaged it, and almost destroyed it. And yet he promises in Psalm 80 and elsewhere in the Old Testament to raise up a branch, a shoot, coming from that original vine, a fruit that would be fruitful, a shoot that would live a perfect life of obedience to God, a shoot that would connect people with God again, not just from Israel, but from every nation. Again, Psalm 80, verse 14. Return to us, O God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine, the root your right hand has planted, the branch you have raised up for yourself. Your vine is cut down. It's burned with fire. At your rebuke, your people perish. Let your hand rest on the man at your right hand, the Son of Man. That's the branch you have raised up for yourself. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us, and we will call on your name. Restore us, O Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. So when Jesus says to his Jewish audience, I am the true vine, everyone in that audience perfectly understood him to be saying, I am that branch. I am that shoot. I am that Son of Man promised by God in Psalm 80 and elsewhere in the Old Testament. Now, the implications of that truth, I am the true vine, as opposed to Israel, the nation under God's hand in the Old Testament, the implications of that truth are many. And Jesus spends the rest of chapter 15 drawing out those implications. Each of the implications actually is worthy of a sermon in its own right. So what I'm going to do now is just rattle them off. If you've got a pen and you've got your study guide, you might just want to jot them down. I'm going to rattle them off, and then I'm going to leave you to dig in a little bit deeper to any of them that particularly strike you or intrigue you. So here are the implications of Jesus as the true vine. Number one, to be connected to the life of God, you must be connected to Jesus and stay connected to him. It's the only way to be connected to the life of God. Number two, the way to be connected and stay connected to Jesus is through his word, through the Bible. We can't see Jesus, we can't hear Jesus now, we will one day in the coming kingdom, but we can't see him or hear him now. The way we encounter him, the way we see him, the way we hear from him is through his words, through the Bible. Three, if we stay connected to Jesus as the true vine, we will bear fruit, recognizable fruit, fruit that people will see and say, that person belongs to Jesus. Four, that's the very reason Jesus has chosen us. He has chosen us and he has appointed us to bear fruit, recognizable fruit, so that people will see our life and say, that person is connected to Jesus. Five, the fruit that we bear is the fruit of love. Christ-like, sacrificial love, the kind of love that lays down its life for others, even its enemies. Six, in order that we bear even more fruit, in order that this fruit of love be even more evident in our lives, God the Father prunes or cleans us, snipping away, as it were, those parts of our lives that limit or hold back the flow of the fruit of love in us. Seven, the way he does that is, again, through his word, through the Bible. So not only does the word connect us to Jesus, but the word, the Bible, prunes us or cleans us to make us even more fruitful for him. Eight, in partnership with the word, is prayer. Prayer meaning asking the Father for everything we need to be more fruitful for Jesus. So these two things work hand in hand, the word and prayer. Jesus speaks to us as we read and meditate on his word, and then we pray that word into being in our lives as we ask the Father to give us everything we need to bear fruit for Jesus. Nine, the ultimate goal of all of this, this connection to Jesus, this bearing the fruit of love, the ultimate goal, the ultimate outcome is joy. Complete joy. Joy, fullness of joy, is a mark of the Christian life. Not happiness, because happiness is dependent on circumstances, but joy, which is not dependent on circumstances, because it's based on, established on something far deeper than that. And this is not any old joy. This is the joy of Jesus. That's what Jesus promises here in John chapter 15. There is no joy as deep, as wide, as strong, as abiding, as full, and as indestructible as the joy of Jesus. A joy that he has shared with the Father and with the Holy Spirit from everlasting and will share to everlasting. He promises that if we stay connected to him, bearing the fruit of sacrificial love in our lives, we will experience his joy flowing through us. And tenth and finally, because he loves us, Jesus warns us that those who consistently fail to produce the fruit of love, as the nation of Israel did in the Old Testament, because they're not properly connected to Jesus the vine, or they don't stay connected to him, they will be permanently, eternally detached from Jesus and from the life of God. It's a solemn warning, like those fruitless dead branches which are gathered up and thrown onto the bonfire. So 10 implications, 10 wonderful implications of the saying of Jesus, I am the true vine. Now, in the last 2 weeks, we've heard two real-life stories of how this stuff works out in practice. We've heard Katarina's story, and we've heard Rob's story. So this morning, we're going to hear Deb's story. So Deb, over to you.
I grew up in an atheist home. I never went to Sunday school. We never went to church. And life, I lived life on my own terms without any reference to God. I lurched from one disastrous relationship to another, looking for love in all the wrong places. And when I was 30, I got involved with a guy who was five years younger than myself. When I found out that he was doing heroin, instead of leaving him, I started taking heroin as well. That began an 18-month ordeal as I tried to come off the drug, but I just found it is incredibly addictive. And life just went from bad to worse. I was staying at a friend's flat, and I remember rummaging around in the drawers for some matches, because one way of taking heroin is to light a bit of it and inhale the fumes. It's called chasing the dragon. And while looking for the matches, I found a little Gideon New Testament. And while high on heroin, I started reading this little New Testament. I'd never read the Bible before. And I just read there that I was in real trouble, that there was a living God to whom I owed an account for my life, this life that I had just trashed. And suddenly I realized that I couldn't commit suicide. Life was living hell, but death meant facing him, and I was too scared to do that. I saw in the Bible that I was in real trouble with a real God. I didn't know who Jesus was, but I knew I had to get to a church. And so I went to a church service on Good Friday, on the morning of Good Friday. And I remember sitting right at the back of the church, near the back door, ready to make a quick getaway. But then they started reading from the Gospel of Matthew about Jesus' crucifixion. And I just sobbed, because I realized what I heard was that he had died on the cross for me. That all the things that I had done and the punishment that was coming my way, he had taken on the cross. And when he cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? I realized that it was for me that he was forsaken. He took my forsakenness. And I sobbed. I just burst into tears. He had done that for me so that I could not be forsaken. And I just knew that I was God's daughter. And I was sobbing. I was absolutely sobbing. I don't know what people thought, but I didn't really care, because I walked out there knowing that God is my Father. And life has just, it has changed from that moment on. That was 9 years ago. And as I look back over the time that I've been a Christian, God has changed me from the inside out. I just see that God has healed and restored every single area that I had single-handedly trashed. And He has restored relationships with friends, and he's given me loads of new friends. He has restored me to my family. He has restored my career. He's helped me settle all that debt. And where before I lived life for myself and on my own terms, I see now that there's real freedom and real joy in living for God and on his terms. And I love him with all my heart, my soul, my strength, and I love others. And for me, that's what makes life worth living. And I can't thank him enough for what he's done for me.
What a moving story from Deb. What a transformation Jesus can bring to our lives. Well, this is the end of our sermon series and study series in John's Gospel. And it's worth just reminding ourselves as we come into land this morning, at the end of this series, John's purpose in writing this gospel is stated in chapter 20 and verse 31. We've seen it so many times. Let's remind ourselves of it this morning. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life, life in his name. The kind of life that comes from being connected to Jesus, the true vine, the kind of life that bears the fruit of Christ-like sacrificial love in our lives. So as we come to a close in this sermon series, I want to invite you to get connected to Jesus the vine if you're not already connected to him, or to reconnect to Jesus the vine. Maybe you felt you were once connected to him, and for whatever reason, you've kind of drifted away. You feel like maybe you're detached from him or just holding on by a strand. I want to invite you this morning to reconnect, to recommit your life to Jesus. The way we're going to do that is I'm going to pray a prayer now, and if you want to pray this prayer out loud or in the silence of your own heart, then please feel free to do that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I know I've sinned in my thoughts, words, and actions. And also in the many good things that I've failed to do. I'm sorry for my sins. And I now turn from everything I know to be wrong. I know you gave your life for me on the cross. Now I ask you to come into my life by your Holy Spirit, to cleanse me, transform me, and be with me as my friend. I give myself wholeheartedly to you in complete obedience for the remaining years of my life. In your name I pray. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest upon you, upon those you love and pray for, and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.